well in the backfield with Malcolm Johnson. They give it to the Crow. He's to the 10. He's to the 5. He's to the 1. He reaches out. Touchdown. He got the ball in.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That's now 9 touchdowns in 18 games for the Crow in the National Football
50-50.
League.
50-50.
Not bad. You'll take that out of your running back. And don't forget, tune into News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns, every Sunday for Browns pregame coverage all season long, beginning at 11. We'll be live on Dog Pound Drive at 11:30 again on this Sunday. We're going to go back to the phone lines where we hand out our game balls here. We've got Daniel in Houston. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
Hi. I did real quick want to just make a comment. Nathan, not to pick on you, but I've noticed that the last 2 weeks, Johnny Manziel has had a higher QBR than Teddy Bridgewater, both weeks.
Good. That's great. Yeah. Johnny Manziel's our quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater isn't. The guy did complete, what did he go, 15 of 19 for a $1.50 in a rout of the Detroit Lions? So I thought he looked pretty good in that game. But I'm happy. Listen, if any quarterback's going to be good, I want it to be our quarterback.
Yeah, my whole point being that, we give up on guys way too easily. We forget people like Peyton Manning, he turned the ball over 31 times.
By the way,
times.
Teddy Bridgewater had a higher QBR than Johnny Manziel this week.
We got QBR.
98.5 to 75.5. Just saying.
I was looking at...
You're looking at quarterback ESPN rating. QBR. You're looking at rating. And he did have a higher rating. 133 to 120. Both are pretty good. But let's go Browns.
Okay, I understand. He's got more touchdowns, though. I'll throw that out there.
That is a fact.
My only point is you got to stick with guys because everybody from Terry Bradshaw, Peyton Manning, guys that are future Hall of Famers, they turn the ball over like they're passing out free candy in their first couple of seasons, and then greatness eventually ensues. Johnny Manziel might have had his rough start, but people that were labeling him as a bust early on, they don't know their NFL history. So I think we got to stick with the guys.
Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman, et cetera. I couldn't agree with you more, and that's what I've been saying all offseason. Johnny Manziel, we don't know what we have in him. He needed to get his life in order, which he did, to find out can he play professional football. And so far, the improvement we've seen is dramatic, and the signs are positive. This is a good thing, and I don't want to stifle that momentum. I want Johnny Manziel to continue to start. We're building an organization here. This is not, again, it's not about the 2015 Cleveland Browns in isolation in a vacuum. This is about the Cleveland Browns organization and a franchise that wants to get to a certain place that all the fans want them to get. Josh McCown, great story, great guy, love everything about him, but the fact that Johnny came in and looked as good as he did, to me, says for the organization and the betterment of it so that they can win games like Blake Bortles and Derek Carr did in their second season because they had those opportunities, Johnny Manziel needs to play. It's that simple for me.
Is that really how you feel?
No. Damon in Oakwood. Yes, it's how I feel. What's going on, Damon?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Good game. You know,
yes.
I'm on the fence. I'm split. You know, I'm right down the middle as far as who should start. But I do see Matt's point. You do want to win for this year, but I do, as a fan, want to know what I got going forward. So to answer his question, would I accept a 4-5 win game season at the price to assure that the next couple years are winning season if we go another direction? Yes, I am. But just a hand towards the defense real quick, what are we going to do to set this edge? What are our options? And I haven't heard much from, about Scott Solomon. You know, is
he's
he out
injured
a couple weeks?
Yep.
I mean, is it just,
high ankle sprain, probably another, 4 weeks.
Okay. Well, what do we do at that point? We still waiting on Mingo, or do we go outside and see if we can bring someone in before week six, or do we just tough it out for the rest of the season? I hang up and listen. Thanks.
I think you tough it out. I mean, the emergence of Armonte Bryan and the conversation you had with him saying he's more comfortable at outside linebacker. We saw Nate Orchard get extensive experience out there as a rookie. And then you've got Paul Kruger. So I think the three-headed monster for two spots can provide the rush and fulfill their opportunity to set the edges and buy time until Scott Solomon gets healthy. It's not like he's the end-all. You know, they liked what he did and was, penciled in as a starter. But I think the three guys you have right now is a good rotation.
It is a good rotation. You want to see more of Nate Orchard. You haven't really gotten to see much of him yet. Only 13 snaps in that opener. But let's talk about that run defense because I don't want to gloss. You're glossing everything over. I'm still not okay with the fact that Dexter McCluster carried the ball 10 times and ran for 98 yards, that they gave up 166 when it was all said and done on the ground, 5.5 yards per carry. Again, most of the damage coming from Dexter McCluster. What did you see in this run defense that continues? Because there were some gaping holes, and it seemed like all they had to do was run right off tackle, and Dexter McCluster did whatever he wanted.
Yeah, it's going to take me an opportunity, and I'll do it tonight, to go back and watch the end zone version of the game to allow me to see the fits. Something with the way in which we fit our defense is not working right now. That's the only way, you know, gaping holes are going to be created. Or we bring some type of pressure, man pressure, zone pressure, and they block it up exceptionally well. That can create some gaping holes. And I don't necessarily know, again, exactly what to put my finger on, but you're right. Time and time again, it was off the tackle, where they found space, and McCluster's fast enough, explosive enough to exploit that, outrun some of the angles, you know, either by linebackers or defensive backs. And, you know, it's a copycat league. You saw the Tennessee Titans multiple times, or at least I did, because I've got that photographic linebacker memory where they'd line up either the same play and flip the formation, or they just come back and line it up the same exact way with that tight end wing situation where they'd want to overtake our outside linebacker, stretch the end outside to kind of like we were almost working for them, creating some of those gaps. Then they'd cut off the backside, and that created the seam for him to run through. They came back and ran the same formation. Now the second time went for 3-yard gain, 4-yard gain, you know, no yard gain. But to get hit for, you know, 50 plus yards in a chunk really changed the game. And that was a play where I thought Andy Lee pins him deep. You know, I think it was a fair catch around the 11-yard line. And what, two plays later, McCluster goes, you know, crosses the 50. And it's like, well, there goes our punt. You know, ultimately, I think we got the ball back on one of the turnovers, which negated the long run. They didn't score on it. But, yeah, it's a concern because it's something that you're going to see week in, week out until you stop it.
The 98 yards for Dexter McCluster were a career high on the ground for him. Okay, he had 8 yards in week number one. That's it.
How
eight
many?
Yards. He had 8 yards in week one.
Okay.
He had 98 yards in this one. Dexter McCluster had not run for more than 50 yards in a game since week 13 of 2011. That was his previous career high, was 61. Actually, week 17 of that year, 61 yards against the Denver Broncos in a week 17 game. This is not a guy that is really doing a lot of damage running the football for his career, had a career day against this Browns team.
Another fun stat is that's 4 yards less than the entire Philadelphia Eagles rushing attack for the entire season, because I believe they have 110 yards. As a team through 2 football games.
And they're supposed to be able to run on
and
anybody.
Chip Kelly, I told you Chip Kelly's going to look like an absolute genius, or he's going to on himself. So far through 2 games, on himself.
Not looking as good as it's supposed to be there in Philadelphia. When we come back, we're going to hand out our game balls. We'll get a couple final calls in here as well. And that will do it for this Victory Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.